Lord, we revel in your holiness right now. And we thank you, Lord, that our hearts and our lives have been designed by you to become like you, to be absorbed completely in every facet of our being in the area of holiness, your character, your attributes, so that your love, your wisdom will flow through us, God, completely, that we wouldn't resist you, that we wouldn't resist your ways, that we would learn how to respond to the great love that is there for us. Can't do that without you. Thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you that you're here. Thank you, Lord, that as we sit in your presence, as we enjoy this sweet, sweet place, God, where there's a heavy weightiness, we know that it's only the beginning. It's only the beginning of the more. It's only the beginning of what comes later. It's only the beginning, Lord, that we would anticipate and look forward to more and call it in. Thank you, Lord, that our hearts will never be satisfied. Our hearts will always remain hungry for you. Our hearts will always remain thirsty for more of you. Lord, that's what we say. That's what we want. That's what we decree. That's what we declare. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us your word to help us in that process that you have each one of us in, so that you would continue to trust us with that which is coming. Trust us in the now and trust us in the future. That's what we want, Lord. And our highest goal is to receive your love, to absorb, to become and walk in the fullness of your holiness. That our eyes would be open to see that. That our ears would hear that. And then we would be changed in the midst of that so we could walk that out. That's our destiny. Thank you, Lord. That's what love looks like. I just thank you, Jesus, for our destinies are unfolding more and more and more, and that you want to birth in us, through this place, through this body, through people who link arms together, who hold fast to their confession of faith and say, yes, Lord, together as one. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Birth your way, your plan, your purposes. Not what we say, not what we want, not what seems right, but is according to your word, is according to your plan. That, Lord, that when we sing out that we will not resist you, resisting love is resisting you, that we will see and understand what that really feels like inside and what that is inside and what you say about it to us, that we will understand and receive and move into that place of greater, greater grace, greater, greater glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let it be. We call it in, Lord. We call it in today. We call that place today. We say yes, Lord, that we will become agents of change. Change that will take us and propel us in our hearts, our minds, our souls, our prayer time, our intercession, everything, God, to the ends of the earth, because that's who you are, Jesus. That's your holiness. We can't stop. Nothing will stop us. We will become unstoppable with that type of fire, with that type of aroma that is sweet-smelling to you, King Jesus. That we will be able to cry out, Abba, Papa, Daddy, and it will be from the depth of our heart, and then we will be willing for the transformation to take place inside of us. We will be desirous. We will say, yes, Lord, show me what that looks like. Discipline me with your heart, with your love, with your ways. I invite that. I invite you, because that shows the depth of your love. Thank you, Lord. Show us, God. That's your glory, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just really struck this morning in worship, Kim, when you were singing out and leading out, you're worthy of it all. From you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory. How many times have we sung that? How many times have we heard that? How many times have we embraced those words? How many times have we been overwhelmed and overcome by that place in the Spirit? And the Lord will try us and test us and allow us to so become that message that there will be nothing inside of us that will allow or stand for or embrace anything other than your worthiness, Lord Jesus. For from you are all things and to you are all things. Just think about that. From him and to him. Just this portal of release. It's powerful. Powerful. And that's where unspeakable joy comes in. I was telling someone yesterday and thinking about it and praying through that yesterday and today about this amazing time. It was a moment in time in the Spirit when we were in Africa, we were in Mozambique, and we were just beginning to step out as our corporate team, so to speak, was going out into the villages to just stand in the midst of everything, of religious people who've maybe understood or made a declaration and said yes to God, but needed to be encouraged, needed to be strengthened, needed to be overwhelmed, needed to be overcome by him again and again and again, as well as others who didn't know him. So it's crazy. And what the Lord wanted to do, those of you who are in Moj, you can resonate with this, but think about this for the moment, because it hits all of us. But I can't get it out of my mind. I can't get it out of my soul. When there was something that was just tilted over to the side, you know, everybody's hungering, going after Jesus. We want to go. We want to be used by you, Jesus. But there was this tilt, you know, it wasn't straight up. Beth, where'd she go? She's back there. Okay, she has an arrow that points straight up. We wanted to all be straight up. I just saw she was wearing that. But we want to be straight up. We want to be in line. We want to be in alignment with you. We want your line. We want to be tethered straight, 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 like an arrow. That's what we want. So when these arrows are shot from us, through us, to him, there she is. We're looking at your shirt. It's just your arrow. It's like, man, there you go. From the call. Azusa. And you know what? You know what God did? It was just the most amazing thing. I just keep thinking about it over and over and over and over and over. And it's like, yeah, but I wasn't there. That's okay, because you're going to get to have a spilling of what God did. And this spilling was into us was 3 hours. It was a 3-hour joy tour. 3 hours. And you know, I just want to tell you that we had to come together, one person and I, and say, Jesus, what do you say about what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling? Get it? Are you with me? What do you say about what I'm thinking? What do you say about what I'm feeling? What do you say about what I'm hearing, what I'm sensing? What do you say? And that was the place where it's non-negotiable. And I really believe at that moment, there was a shift. It was like a recalibration that God wanted to bring so there was real unity in the Spirit. That's where real unity is. I'm going to ask Lawrence to share something in a second, and then we're going to release the kiddos. But let me tell you, when that happened, between one person and myself in the midst of the whole team doing what they need to do to put the tents up because it's dark and you got to have our tents. We have to have the fire and we have to eat and we have to do everything, you know. Oh my gosh. When this recalibration took place, you know what it means to recalibrate something? Who knows? Who can explain that? Come here, come here. You gotta say this, Steve. What does it mean to recalibrate? Because some people maybe don't understand that word. So explain recalibrate.
Recalibrate is when you take something and you adjust it back to the correct standards so that it shows the correct values of what you're putting against it. If it's an instrument, you are telling it to this is the correct measure. This is, and not, you know, it might be putting off something else, but you want the correct measurement. That's recalibrate.
And thank you. Very good. Now we understand recalibrate. Let's give him a big hand. It's good job, Steve. When that happened at that moment, you might think, well, that was just a little deal. You know, you guys are out in the middle of the sand and the dirt and you're happy and there's no pressures here, so that's going to happen easily. No, no, no. This took every spiritual sense of or ability of discernment, discerning of spirits. It took the Word of God. It took a willing heart. It took two people coming together going, this just ain't God. So whatever you're feeling, thinking, going, whatever that is, needs to move out of the way because what we were singing, well, there it is. You are worthy of it all. All things are from you, through you, to you. It's like, well, what do you mean? God spoke or did something that made me like this? No. But there is an enemy that was just moving around, just ready to snap at this world changer and had actually done so. So it's kind of like, wow, thank you, Teresa, for speaking all these words out in the back, powerful intercessor, spiritual daughter, armor bearer, etc. She comes up to me and she's got this iron on my back here while I'm, you know, worshiping you and singing. It's like, boom, take that. Yay! Okay, so with that, she speaks out some things that I'm smiling, going, come on, God, increase, 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 so we can all receive, receive, receive. It was really good. Thank you. Not prompted, well, by the Holy Spirit, of course. So then, all right, this moment in time happens. Boom, someone's on the ground because power of God says, excuse me, I'm here, you're not anymore. And there was a shift. And there was a shift with a ferocity in the spirit. Who knows what ferocity is? Who can explain the word ferocity? Oh, she'll call on me. I just know it. You're right. Who can explain ferocity? There was a shift. It was a ferocious shift. Come on. Don't be shy. Who's going to... There you go, Kim. What is ferocity? Ferocious.
Ferocity is a place where you don't hold back. You don't relent. You push until you get to that place. There's just... This is the mark I want, and I will get to that mark no matter what it takes.
Can you say it again? That was darn good.
Oh, gosh.
Everybody, okay, listen. Pay attention. Let it go into your ears, everybody.
Ferocity is a place of coming from where if there's a mark. There's something out there that you want, and you will do whatever it takes to get to that place, to get to that mark, to get to that standard.
Okay.
And you won't take no, and you will give it all. And I don't know.
Kind of like the Lion of Judah.
That's who I was thinking of.
Were you? I thought so.
who gave it all and stopped at nothing.
Come
to
on.
Win my...
Oof, because you're worthy of it all. I love that. That's just so... Can we give her a hand? That was good, too. It's like, all right, that was really good. So, all right, now we're at the end of the story almost, all right? So this shift in the spirit took place. Now there's a result. It's like, wow, God, so what are you going to do? What happens? There's a recalibration. There's a ferocity in the spirit. Do you know what he did? There was a portal. Do you know what a portal is? Who knows what a portal is? Man, this is getting scary. It's like school. Come on, you guys. What's a portal? All right, Jamie, tell us what a portal is. Come on, please.
A portal would be... basically a means from one place to another, a means to get from one place to another. That's what a portal is.
So was there a portal, do you think, in this place?
Yeah.
Okay, so what were the places that there was supposed to be a going from one place to the next? This one's easy.
We say the question again?
This portal that you gave me the general definition, so explain a spiritual portal, can you?
The only spiritual portal that you would want would be from heaven to earth.
Yes, simple, right, good job. We'll give you a little clap on that one. All right. This is also for our little kids, because they're going to go into kingdom land right now, okay? What was the result of that? Haley, come here, because she was part of it. And this is not prepared, but this person was involved in this. Just explain a little bit what happened.
There was just lots of joy.
What kind of joy?
Holy Spirit joy.
That's true. That's a good point. Well, it can be, sure. Okay, so Holy Spirit joy. There was something that came as a result that was so strong, so holy, so incredibly inviting, so unstoppable, so fierce, so powerful, you'd have to be a fool to resist. Honestly, it's like, wow, you're doing something and it's from heaven to earth and I want to jump in. That was the tenor of what was going on, okay? And let me tell you that there was something that changed in the atmosphere when there was a recalibration. And kids know that you're going to ask your parents later, Dad, Mom, what's recalibration? They're going to have a good answer for you too. Right, guys? Yeah, you're going to ask Mom later. And do you know what happened? There were so many supernatural things that occurred. Am I right? Were you guys there?
I was.
Well, you were. You weren't. Okay, you were. A lot of supernatural things. So, you know what I did? I called our beloved team. I only was with one person. And I was already completely saturated, intoxicated, overwhelmed, overcome by the power and the joy, the powerful joy of the Holy Spirit that was meant by God to do something at that moment. I mean, change, not just the atmosphere, we're having a better time, not just stop, don't put your tents up, get over here and jump in the pile. Not, you know, that was part of it. You have to come to receive. Come. There was an invitation. Come. Come. Worker bees, stop putting your tent up. Come. Come. Just join in to the honey pot right here. Here's where the honey is. And it was so thick that you just couldn't even resist. It was that thick. Honestly. It's like, okay, now if you cerebrally go, well, that sounds like a plan. My goodness. I think I need to recalibrate. That's nice. But I'm telling you what, if you jump in with your heart to this testimony, something will change on the inside of you right now. Because that's how it works in the spirit. That's how it is. God says, I want to change you in the spirit to absorb, become my holiness. It's like, wow. Man, our little kids need to learn this. They need to understand these things. They need to know that when we're just smiling and, you know, hey, what do you need? What do you want? That's, a lot of people do that. A lot of non-spiritual people do that. Honestly, that's not the key. The key isn't, hey, what are we doing now? What plan can we do? Where can we go? What flowers can we pick? What fun thing can we do? Come on, kids, let's go do something together. Isn't this fun? Come on, kitties, kitties, kitties. The world does that. The spiritual people, us, get lost in the presence of God in this place of amazing joy that is the outpouring of this recalibration. And when that starts happening, atmospheres change, problems turn around, circumstances are altered. And so everybody from the team came in, jumped into this glory pile pit, And there were dreams, there were visions, there were visitations going from heaven to earth. I just can't even tell you. And it went on for 3 hours. I was telling somebody yesterday, I've not seen anything like that on the mission field in quite some time, if ever. Maybe in the first couple of years, when the whole team was just kind of stepping in saying, whatever it takes, I'll do anything. I don't care. It makes no difference. I'm just going for you, Jesus. I want you. I'm not going to resist. Everything's from you. Everything's through you. Everything's to you. Everything. Oh, my gosh. And the Lord's saying, I'm going to take you back to that, kiddos. You're a few years older, have a few more responsibilities, kids, grandkids, whatever. But I'm about to visit you. In a new way. Hey, I'm about to visit you. Let me tell you, I mentioned it on Tuesday, but I'll say it here. Some may not have gotten it. But I got a dream from Inez, our director in Brazil. And she had a dream while we were in Mozambique. And she said, and it was here. She was here, and it was here. And she said, guess what? She said, this place was packed. There was something that came from this mic. Ready? Two things. Place was filled with people. Something that came from this mic. And there was a there was a wave of the Holy Spirit. And everybody hit the deck. Do you want him? Do you want to get caught up in his power and his authority, which is the release of his love? Do you want that? At all costs. Because his holiness will be so strong that we will not be able to stand. She sent it to me again last night. It's like, huh? What are we supposed to do with that, God? Okay? We want to birth what you say. Birth what you want. And not be focused on me. My little world. No. It's him. Amen? And that's where we're going. So, Lawrence, if you could just share whatever God tells you, and then we'll release the kids. I don't know what that is. But I'm so stoked. I'm so happy today.
Well, I don't know how much I want to share here. We had a gathering yesterday morning, the men who honor. Wasn't for the ladies. But I guess we'll share some of it for everybody. So I had heard a message about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it just kind of kept coming back to me and hitting my heart. So I asked Pastor Bill if we could get together and kind of go through this message and process it. But the heart of it, and it's something that the Lord's continuing to convict me about, is just this idea of what it looks like to walk with Jesus in a way that we're not hindered by anything else. And so, I think many of you guys are familiar with Francis Chan. If you're not, he's a pastor out in California who went through this long process of building this huge mega church and then just kind of decided to ultimately walk away from it because he wanted to see what it looked like to walk in discipleship. So it's really kind of extending that heart of what it looks like to take what we see in scriptures, just take what we see the disciples and Jesus walk out and go from that into how does that apply to our lives? And so this challenge went forth from him of when we're with God, and this is what I think the Lord wants to release right now. He put this challenge out at the beginning of the message. He says, when you're alone with God, when you're in your room, when you're talking, when you're reading your Bible, when you're with Holy Spirit, and it's just you and him, Are you experiencing that peace of God? Are you experiencing that power of God? Because basically what it is it's this idea of, like, are we taking what we see in Scripture and actually believing it? Are we taking what we see God says, what Jesus did, and are we actually applying it to our lives in a way? Because I'll be very real. I can get through church. Church is anywhere from an hour and a half to 4 hours, depending on the day. I can get through that. I can be spiritual for that. I can get through a Tuesday night. I can get through. But is what I'm doing here real in my life all the time? Like, are we actually taking what we're hearing from the pulpit? Are we actually taking what we're reading in Scripture and genuinely, truly giving it to God and living in a way that honors and glorifies Him? Does my life glorify God more than just Sunday morning and Tuesday nights? And so it's been this huge challenge for me of going back before the Lord and genuinely being willing to open myself up and say, Lord, if I'm totally honest with myself, there's definitely areas that I haven't completely given over to Him. And so we talked a little bit about that yesterday morning and just kind of what that process looks like of what it's like to live in covenant relationship with God and covenant relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ, and how we're called to challenge each other and to sharpen each other and give each other permission, you know, to have each other's backs, and what that looks like and how that could mean opening the door to allowing people to challenge and convict me. So it was a great time. We had a real blast. It was an awesome punch in the gut, but really, really wanting to take it beyond just a good message and beyond just a Saturday morning and see what that looks like for life. And so I know there's several people in my life here who have challenged me and who I've given permission to do that. And some of you have given that permission back. And so just praying and trying to figure out exactly what it looks like to do that. So I'll end with this. The really cool thing that I loved about everything that we did yesterday, we talked about this and what that looks like, and that the whole message and everything that we talked about, it was all about that process of giving everything over to Jesus because He's worthy. But there's really no point in the message where, or in our talks, where we were highlighting specifically why we should do it. And the thing that the Lord keeps speaking to me about it is that when you have a personal relationship with Him, there you already know Him to the degree that you understand He's worthy. So it's not like we had to keep continuously talking about why He's worthy of all of these things, but just this innate understanding of once you encounter the real God, we realize that He is worthy. So it's all about encountering the real, genuine love of God, and that's what draws us into this place of understanding His worthiness and then being willing to lay down our lives for that. So go for it.
Thank you. And I wasn't there yesterday because I'm not a guy. Yes, we can do this another time. But I believe that today, and Pastor Bill can tell me that when we get home, but I believe it will piggyback what the Lord released yesterday, even though ladies weren't there. I believe that. I believe that we're going to hear more of the why about Him, about the nature of the Lord and where we fit. But before you all go, because the kiddos want to go to their classes, right? You guys want to go? Everybody's going to get one of these. I'm sorry it's not cleaned up. It's straight from my email because I was searching around and I was with the Lord all day yesterday in the Word, having a blast. And one thing, there's many things, but one thing that was kind of cool that I wrote, that I printed off, is the sedative of excuses. Lawrence will love it. The Sedative of Excuses by Daniel Kalenda. And since we just went to Azusa, you know, I just really think that this is something that could follow up some of the things that we received. If y'all want to hear Daniel Kalenda's message at the end of Azusa, Cleveland, or Cleveland Azusa, you can go online and find it. If you want to go straight to my Facebook page, it's there. But I think it would be good to just kind of help us in our recalibration. But anyhow, I'm not going to read this other than delayed obedience is disobedience. Hey, does that sound like love? Does that sound like, oh, I was feeling so lost in His presence? Oh my gosh, worthy is the Lamb. He's so holy. Oh, and that feeling that we had this morning. And you hand me something that says delayed obedience is disobedience? Nuts. But I think you'll love this because it's about following. It's about following the Lamb. So many times we think we're following the Lamb and we're following ourselves and what we want. And we're going to talk about that this morning. So this is helpful. You know, it's good to go before the Lord. And it's good. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, but I wanted to pass this out so everybody has one. Everybody has their own.
Amen.
Is this good? Did you have a good morning so far? Are you ready for more? Hey, we've got Relentless Pursuit coming up, and Carly has handouts for that too. Everybody gets one of those. This is a save the date. It's the last week in October when the high places in the witchcraft and occultic areas are flying. We're going to be flying in a new place, right? We're going straight up to heaven. So same weekend. So hold that weekend open, and that would be great. We'll have more information about that. But we don't want any more excuses in our life, do we? Don't you hate excuses? If somebody gives you an excuse and you're going, okay, just give them grace, God. He's saying, yeah, I'm a man, I'm a God of grace, but man, excuses can be annoying, can't they? When it really comes down to just the fact that we're self-centered people, calling us ourselves not sometimes, many times. So I think this will be a blessing for you guys. So is there anything else that you wanted to share real quickly? We have Awaken the Dawn, and we have a couple worship places in the Ohio tent during Awaken the Dawn already. And we also are going to be taking over the prophetic drawing. You know what that is for prophetic words and such. For the whole Ohio tent around the outside of it. So Frontline's going to do that. So come. We're going to give you more information about that. I have another great, great video on my Facebook about it. If you go to my Facebook, and because you don't know everything about Awaken the Dawn, go there and you're going to get all kinds of fun things to watch. Because everybody likes to be on Facebook and watch those things, right?
Just a couple other quick things to highlight. This Friday, we have Lighthouse Prayer here from 7 to 8:30. Then Imparty will be next Sunday, I think, the 27th, however many, two Sundays from now. Two Sundays in party for School of Worship right after church at the Jacques. And then Frontline Training Center will be kicking off with Lawrence's Good or God class. The first date is September 7th, and then it's a number of Thursdays after that. All of the dates are in the bulletin if you want to grab one of these. There is a sign-up sheet in the foyer if you're a current FTC participant. If you are not and you don't know what that is or you need more information about that, then you can feel free to talk to Lawrence, the man in the red, after today, and he can give you an application for that if you're attending here as your home church. So thank you. Make sure you sign up for that if you are interested. The children are released.
Okay, Lord, we just thank you and praise you that we're transitioning into more examination and revelation from your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are the word. You are the living word. We thank you and praise you, Lord, that you're transforming us into the image of your son, moment by moment, glory to glory. I thank you, God, that we are willing vessels to receive from you. Lord, we thank you that we don't want to go around the barn. We don't want to stay in our stuff. We want to go to the next place that you have for us because it's always good and it's always best. So we thank you for that, Lord. And thank you, Father, that you're training us up in righteousness, training us up to be able to be very shrewd in the area of spiritual warfare and understanding what it means to step out and be your ambassadors for you, Jesus. And we need to understand how to move, how to think. We need to be a well-oiled machine. Oil from you, Holy Ghost. We need that oil. We need your oil, Lord. We need fresh oil today. We thank you, Lord, that your presence is so strong today, that your oil is moving and it's saturating us in the area of peace, love, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And we thank you, Lord, that our minds, our hearts are being recalibrated this morning, and there's a great increase today. For each one of us, God, those who are here and those who will listen later, we give you praise, God. We give you glory, Lord. We give you thanksgiving. We thank you, God, that you are on the throne, that you are so amazing, that all we need to do is say, here I am, send me, here I am, love me, here I am, I'm yours, here I am, do whatever you want in any way. I lay myself down, I surrender, God. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you for the privilege of being your son or your daughter. Thank you, God, that we can cry out and say, Daddy, we love you, we know you. And that's all that matters. And out of that, we are just going to go and run the race and fulfill the destiny that you've called us to fulfill. I thank you for that, for every person who's receiving today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, thank you. Water, that's good. That is so good. Amen. Well, hello again. On Tuesday, when we were here, I passed out, Carly did for me, those who wanted one, if you don't, well, that's fine. This is called Surviving Your Wilderness. It's a little 76-page booklet, and this is from Daniel Kalinda, and it just seems the season that the Lord brought him into Ohio, and he and Reinhard Bonnke have brought in 76-plus million souls into the kingdom by the Spirit of God in Africa and different places around the world. Praise the name of Jesus, right? And so when he gave a good word, a strong word, at the end of 2 days at Azusa Now, many of us were extremely encouraged if we were there, and I know it was part of the shift in the atmosphere for what God is doing, not just over Cleveland, but in fulfillment of how he wants to bring revival to this nation, which means, hello, Jesus needs to be in charge. That's what revival is. Jesus is revival, right? So it was the beginning, a marked beginning of an increase in the Jesus, in a new Jesus movement. There have been Jesus movements before, and I always find that kind of weird, actually. It's a Jesus movement. It's like, what's a Jesus movement? Everybody goes, wow, it's all about you, Jesus, and then we go back, and then the movement's over. Isn't that supposed to be the way it is? And I believe the answer is yes, and I believe many others believe that too. So this Jesus movement that's coming is to bring us back into the place where we are recalibrated again into a place where we understand true spiritual unity. You can't serve two masters. It just doesn't work. We can't have one boat, one foot out of the boat, one foot in the boat. You won't go very far. We need all hands on deck. We need people together. We need to be moving together. We need to be flowing together. Teresa, when she came up right before, at the end of worship, and she took this hot iron hand and went bam on my back, I was like, wow, whoa, who is this strange person behind me? And when I looked, I went, yeah, that's someone I know and love and trust, because I know her and I love her. And I can trust the Jesus in her because she's moving in terms of what Jesus is saying and doing. And so when she's speaking these words of life, and I know she's praying for me. I know she wants to be with me. I know she cares about me personally as a human, not just as the leader or, you know, one of the pastors or whatever. But there's this relational connection. It's really cool. It's been there a long time. And that's with many of you. And that's our heart. God says, connect, unite, come on. You're a team. This is a team. We're a team in frontline. It's so funny. When we go overseas and people will say, how's the team? It's. I mean, years later, well, the team has grown and there are more people on the team. I know, but how's the team? You know why people say that when they ask us, those who know us year after year and we come back, go back? Because they like the unity. They feel the love. And people connect in and go, hey, I want to see you succeed. I want to see it work for you. I want to see what God's going to do in your life in Ghana or wherever it is. And there's other nations and we're going. And that's increasing. I mean, when we have this place filled up and more, I mean, that's coming. And we just know that because God's in it, God of increase. But he's definitely doing a whole lot of testing in these years, isn't he? We're going to talk about that. He says, you know, I want your back to be fit for the burden. It's like, oh, well, wait a minute. Oh, wait, didn't we do a drama called The Burden Bearer? Don't we do that where it's Jesus who carries the weight. Yes, that's as we give him the burdens. But he says, okay, come on, kids. I'm going to strengthen the resolve inside of you. I'm going to strengthen you. You're going to become, you're going to be refined as gold. I'm going to melt you, ha, so that you will strengthen and be strong and mighty to be able to carry what I'm going to give you. So that you will grow in wisdom, you'll understand and receive and walk in discernment. That's one thing that Teresa prayed among many things. It's like, yes, God, more, more, more. It's like, more, Lord, I want to see what you're doing. I want to hear what you say. All I care about, and this is, I think, the tenor of our, where our hearts need to go to more and more, is I don't want to grieve you, Spirit of God, you live in me. I do not want to grieve you. I don't want to grieve you. Holy Spirit, you're inside of me. The Spirit of Christ is inside of me, changing me into the image of Jesus. Ha! That's a big responsibility, right? Especially with someone like me. It's like, you got to change this lady. Change her. Okay, I give you permission. I want to be like Lawrence. I want to be like a lot of people in here who are really, really serious about things of the Lord. Come on. I want to know your word. I want to know what it says. I want to see. I want that. I want your word to work for me. I want to go in and go, yes, I just love Hebrews. God, that's so amazing. Look what happened to those Israelites. Where am I like that? Change me. Show me. I want to enter into your rest. I want to know you as the great intercessor. I want to see you as this fiery lion of Judah. I want to walk that way more. He says, you are. You will. It shall be done. But I need you to cooperate with me. Don't resist me. You know, that was the very last song that Kim sang. And somehow, there was the, you know, I was like, yeah, whoa. We sang out all about his holiness, and we entered into that. The next song was kind of like, ta-da. The Lord says, don't resist me, so you can really understand where that song really is going to go in your heart. You're going to feel me, know me, sense my presence working in you. And it's going to carry over to when that song is finished. It has to, because it won't work if it's just a really good worship song. It just won't work. First time somebody says something, does something to push a button, or the kids are out of line, or, you know, whatever. It's like, rah! And the Lord's saying, I want to get that out of you, because I am changing you to carry my glory. I am changing you so you walk in my holiness. I am changing you. And humble yourself. Come on, so I don't have to. Would you? And that's this great, great privilege that we have. I love the word privilege. It's like, Lord, it's a privilege to suffer for you. You don't even know what suffering's like. I don't. And think about that. If we say, oh, Lord, life is so tough. And he says, you know, you shall know me. I put it on my Facebook last night, Philippians 3:10. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you and the power of your resurrection. Okay, now listen. I want to know you, meaning if I know you, the power behind your resurrection will be the next thing that moves in my life, if I really know you. And I will share in the fellowship of your sufferings. And, which I didn't put that last part on, I need to do that. And I'll be conformed into your image. Ha! Wow. So I want to know you so I can become like you. I want to know you so I can become like you. That's how marriages turn around. That's how situations change in families, honestly. One thing I like about Francis Chan, many of you have heard this, is that when I listen to his wife talk from a very amazing place of humility, she's gone low before the Lord. And she is filled with grace as a result of going low. I like that. So she and Francis share together. But what they share, that their eyes are on Jesus, not themselves. Jesus, not themselves. Jesus, not themselves. And things turn. They don't even have time for conflict. It's like, whoa, it's a little heavy to hear. But they're very compassionate people too. Anyway, I do have some videos that if you ever want to prepare for marriage, or you're in marriage, or you're out of marriage, or whatever about marriage, I was looking at some things last week, and I just put a couple links together. If you're interested, let me know, and I'll shoot that to you. But I want to look at some verses here. I don't have anything up on the screen, so you're going to have to get your Bibles out with me as soon as I find my place here. See where we are. I did take a couple of notes where I thought it would be good to go. So thank you, Lord. Well, I was looking at this Surviving Your Wilderness, and I was just starting to tell you that I think we bought enough, one for every family or house unit of people. So if you have six in your house, you get one. You know, if you have one in your house, you get one right now. You can order more if you'd like. And if you'd like to contribute to that, feel free to do that. But if not, we will bless you as we do. So if you'd like to put some money in the coffer back there, you're free to do it. Just put Daniel Kalinda, Surviving Your Wilderness, but 76 pages. But I like this because it's real. It's just real. It talks about wandering around, but it talks about the wilderness of promotion. Who wants to hear about that? Come on, yeah. It's like, oh, something positive. This is great. It's very positive. This is about the Lord wanting to promote us, to bring us to a place where he's taking us into deeper places. Sometimes we think, well, we have to go low and stay low, which we do, but it's to promote us. He's trying to promote us all the time. That's what I love about God. He's not saying, well, you silly goofball, you know. He's saying, come on, I want to promote you. But I can't promote you because I can't trust you, because you're always flipping around, or you're not tethered to me in the way that you have to be. Because if I give you what I want to give you right now, it'll take you down. It'll take you out, because you won't be able to stand. So I need to help you. Let's train up. Let's train up. So this is about promotion. And I thought, wow, that is just sweet. So good. I know that one thing, I'm going to just mention a few highlights from this as I'm sharing other things that are just on my heart, that Israel, as you all know, went through 40 years in the desert, and that entire generation blew it because they were in what? Unbelief, and they were also absolutely murmuring and complaining in offense, right? So this unbelief and this place of resistance is just not a smart move, these chosen people. But God just said, okay, you just keep on going around the barn. Keep doing that. You can keep doing that. I mean, 40 years is a long time. Do you think the Lord would let us wander 40 years? Yes. In fact, he would let us wander our entire life. And yes, he's faithful. He is so faithful to the end. And as we contend for everything that he has for us, he will deliver the goods. He will. He will. He will. He will. But if we don't, we can stay in a place of opposition. We can oppose the very thing God's trying to promote us into. Can you hear that again? We could end up opposing the very place that he's trying to take us to. We're opposing it. No, I'm not, God. I'm really humbling myself. I want it your way. Yes, you say that, but you're still here. So I'd like to take you out of that, or I'd like that to start working for you, because there's such brilliant, brilliant, brilliant prophetic releases for Israel. So many. I'm going to take you to the land filled with milk and honey. I'm going to take you to the place where you're going to represent holiness and heaven coming to earth. You're going to be my chosen people. You've got a great plan for your people, my people. And I want to promote you to that plan. But you're still obstinate. You're still stubborn. You're not making it. Okay, you finally get in, but you're still fighting me. So there's this place of opposition in the spirit that God is saying, if you'll let me get into that place, I'm going to help you so that you can get into a place of promotion instead of opposition. It's really like this. It really is. If the Lord's moving, he's saying, let's move together. And it's always forward. He's never doing this. He's never going backwards. Never, never, never. He's wanting to promote us. What he has planned for our future, the destiny for each one of us, is way beyond what we can think, ask for, or imagine. It's way bigger than this. Way bigger. And so it's, what is the this? I mean, we're doing everything we know to do. We are becoming everything we know to become by his Spirit. So we're in the right place, moving forward. But at the same time, he gives us his word to really clarify, oh, I might be in opposition to things of the Lord. There are all things might be permissible, but they just might not be what he's saying is what he is offering to us to promote us. That's a scary thing. It is. It really is. It's like, Jesus, I don't want that. I do not want to get to the end of my life. It could be when I'm 120 or it could be next year because our lives are in his hands, but I contend for the 120 plus. Okay? So I don't want to get to the end and have him say, sweetheart, I know you were learning how to love all those years, but why did you keep opposing me? Why are you opposing me? Why did you oppose me? I don't want to stand before Jesus and hear that at all. You know, he'll say, come in and receive your reward. But it will be based on the places that you have held fast to the end. That's where it would be, not where the opposition was. Well, isn't there grace for that? Listen, of course God is a God of grace, but he's saying, I've got things for you to do. Daniel Kalenda would say to you as you read this, Jesus has things to do. He came here for a purpose to reconcile us with the Father. And then he says, go and make disciples of all nations. Okay, go do that. Well, what does that mean? He says, first, come. Come into my presence and follow me so that you can go. That's how we break out of any place of opposition. Come, come, come and follow me. Follow me. And when you follow me, you will go. There is no two ways about it. You can't stop. You can't not go. Once you come and you're drawn in by his love. It's just the way of the kingdom. But he says the Israelites really blew it because they didn't know his ways. We want to know his ways, don't we? We want to know exactly what he's saying, what he's doing. So let's turn in Hebrews. Can we do that? Hebrews chapter 3. Everybody get your Bible, your phone, whatever you guys use. And you just look at it. It's not up on the screen right at the moment, and that's okay. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you turn there, and I'm going to read something over you. Now, this is in Philippians. This is chapter 2, verse 12. So listen with your listening ear. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Come on. One more. I'm going a little further. Verse 15. So it's 12, 13, 14, 15. So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. Is that beautiful? That's Philippians 2, 12 through 15. So the first invitation as we come close to the Lord to follow him is to obey him. And obey him is going to flow out of coming into his presence. If we're really in the presence of the Lord and we're following him, we will obey. We may struggle with it, but we will obey. He just wants to help us get rid of the struggle so that we obey more quickly. We follow his word diligently. We don't just talk about how good the word is, I'm going to get in it, but we actually are doing it and we're saying, Lord, that's what your word says. And I thank you that I'm becoming more like you. I don't want to resist you. I don't want to be obstinate. I don't want to be stubborn. Okay, here's Lawrence saying, I just want people to speak into my life and say something. Wow, that was pretty amazing. So many have, some have, and he's given some the right to do that. But what if he didn't? What if he said, no, I'm not listening to those pastors. I'll turn and somebody else can say something to me. There's probably some resistance. There's probably something there that God is saying, you can keep being in this place, but I want to bring you out of this place because this is how God works in unity. He just does. Oh, he forges with a hammer and chisel, character, faith, and maturity. I love it. And you know what? When Israel resisted God, and you know the story, the true story, Joseph was actually molded. We love going there, don't we? It's like, yeah, I want to be like Joseph. Yeah, he was molded. He just, you know, he went into the pit. And then, you know, he had to go into prison. And then he finally went to the palace. Wow. Yes, God, I want to be like Joseph. So God shaped him and molded him. We don't know about all the inner resistance. We see where he participated and agreed with God. But he could not escape the process. He could not get out of the process God had. God had him in a process, and he decided to cooperate with the process. Okay, but if we decide this is my process, and we're missing components, our process is going to be a whole lot longer. The Israelites didn't figure it out. They just didn't. They wanted their own process, and God said, I have designed this to take a couple years. Hello. Do you know how close you are to the promised land? Do you like sitting in the desert for 40 years? You see? So God has a plan to promote us. And there will be dry places. There will be tough things. But how long do you want it to take? How long do we want it to take? Well, it's God's process. He's saying, I'm giving you the ability to realize where there might be opposition. And that's your job to get rid of it because, you know what, I'm not forcing anybody. Love doesn't do that. But I'm not going to force you. But you better see where there's opposition. And I'll give you my word. And if you believe it and you go to the Lord, man, this humbling is just so much fun because we know there's a promotion after that. We know it. Oh, God, the Lord is so smart. Well, anyway, for Joseph to be able to rule, he needed a serious heart, didn't he? Didn't he need what God wanted him to go through? Didn't he have to go through this? Didn't he absolutely require this process for him to be able to be this amazing leader that we tout and say, look at this? And in Genesis 50, when it says, oh, what the enemy intended for evil, God intended for good. And we go, yeah, but we need to take a look at that and say, where do I fit in that, God? Where do I fit in with Joseph? Where do I fit in with the Israelites? What are you telling me? I need to read the word. And I need to study the word. And I need to know the word. And I need to not make excuses anymore for that. Well, I've been busy. The kids needed this. I had too many arguments. I've got birthday, you know, whatever. I do it too. We all do it, right? Nothing meant there. I know it's your birthday. Happy birthday, by the way, to our twins. We love you guys. Happy birthday. We'll sing later. But anyhow, this is what we get to do. Isn't this fun? So in this great push for worshiping in the nation's capital, it's like, well, yeah, whole 50 tents. The Lord is so pleased. He is. And we're going to worship and we're going to draw pictures and people are going to come to Christ. But you know what he's looking for in that? Hearts that are humble, period. He says, your heart, if it's humble and low before me, and your eyes are like seas of glass, where there's just nothing hidden, there's just this purity, and there's this holiness, okay? Wow, do you know what I can do with you? Do you know where I can send you? Do you know what's going to bow at the knee of me through you? Do you know that? Wow, that gives glory to Jesus. And some of us need to really hear this and go, yeah, it's time to recalibrate. Yeah, let's go. Let's go. This is so good because, Jesus, you're so worth it. You're worth it all. Ha! Thank you, God. This is so amazing. All right, Hebrews 3. I got to get there. Sorry. Just kind of got excited for a minute. I'm very excited. This is such a joy, such a privilege to hold a microphone. Hebrews. All right, I'm here. All right, Hebrews 3. Now, if I look up and I see you just staring, that's not good. You look at your phone, and if you need a Bible, if you don't have a Bible, there's one right here, and there should be more. But get a Bible and open it and put your eyes on it, okay? Let's do this. Let's see. And we're going to come up with some suggestions for you all on reading more of the Word, and there really isn't time today, but we've been talking, and we have some good ideas that I think will bless you, but we can't make you do it. You know, this is between you and God. Thank you, Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 1, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Stop there and do nothing the rest of the day and take that first verse and say it and to the Lord 20 times and let God just wreck your heart and say, wow, Lord, I want to consider Jesus. I want to consider you, Jesus. This is who you are. You are amazing God. We are partakers of a heavenly calling. Come on, God, am I not part of that? Am I not walking in that? Have I been stubborn and resisting? You know, Lord, show me. I this is so huge. Consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Come on. Wow, he was faithful to him who appointed him. He was faithful to who? Papa. He was faithful to Papa who appointed him. Come on. Appointed him as Moses also was in his house. Verse 3, for he had been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. Now track with me here. Verse 4, for every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Okay, think about this. Think about your house. Think about your temple. Verse 5, now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. 6, but Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Let's read that again. Verse 6, but Christ was faithful God, as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Well, then we zip back to the Old Testament. And now we're in the New Testament, right? We're in Hebrews. So let's take a look at 7 through 11. Okay, here we go. We just have to remember what it's like when we oppose this Jesus that we're considering. We're considering him, right? So let's see what he says. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice. So I challenge you right now, if you are hearing this today, if you hear his voice today, if you heard it this morning and you're tracking with the anointing that is in this house and you're part of that, you know, it can't be like this. You can't dance around. You've got to jump in. And jump in wholeheartedly, because the Lord's calling. It's what he does. He's saying, I've got a ship for you. Let's go. Let's man this ship and go into the deep waters. We have nations to take together. All right? I mean, if you close your ears, okay, well, take that test again. That's fine. It's not my test. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. As in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me, and they saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. Grab this for yourself, guys, because it's in the New Testament. Don't just say, well, that was then. This is for us, because we're considering Jesus. This is for us. He's speaking to us. He says, they always go astray in their hearts. They did not know my ways. Verse 10, they did not know my ways. They go astray in their heart. They did not know my ways. We are in a season. This has been seems like a long season, but it's really not in God's economy, where he's saying, they did not know my ways. Know the ways. If we preach about the ways, lead you to the ways, we connect in the ways, But if you do not know his ways as a result of that type of connection with him that we talked about, he's inviting us, come, 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 come. Encounter, 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 and then you will go. You will become unstoppable. You can't stop. That's what a fire is like. That is the progression. His ways are very clear to us. He makes it clear so that we aren't wandering around in circles. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. It's like, oh, why is that in there? Okay, let's get back into the word, Jesus. What is that Old Testament stuff in Hebrews? But then he says in verse 12, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Well, gosh, that's not me. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin or arrogance of sin. Well, that's not me. Verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. What? We're not partakers of Christ yet? If we hold fast, what is he saying? Verse 15, while it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. Did he have to repeat that again? This is annoying. Verse 16, for who provoked him when they had heard? Who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Jesus, out of Egypt, led by Moses? 17, and with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? 18, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? But to those who were disobedient. Oops. 19. So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Oops. Let's look at 18 and 19 together. This is the wilderness of opposition. We could very well be in a wilderness of opposition. We could be. There could be times where, oh Lord, this just seems hard. It seems difficult. We could be in a wilderness where we're just kind of, you know, we love you, Jesus. We're worshiping and it's really good and we're doing all the right things, we think, and all that. But in the Lord's eyes, not PMP's eyes, the Lord's eyes, okay? Am I in a wilderness of opposition? You ask the Lord that one and you really want to hear? Oh, yeah, for real. It's like, wow. Okay, then, if that's the case, what do I do? Okay, because he knows that we're all like this. We're all humans, and we all love Jesus, and we all want to be conformed. You know, if you say, Lord, I'm really trying. What else do you want? That just does not touch him. He says, you know, honey, I love you. My word is really clear. I don't want you to be in a wilderness of opposition for a very long time. If you are, you can do some things about that so that you can be in this place of promotion. Yes. Wait. The Israelites are in this wilderness of opposition. So what about me, God? What are you saying? What are you saying for me, Lord? Am I in a wilderness of promotion or opposition or both? And that's actually what this book is about. It's just about going through trials. And we have to go through trials. It's just part of it. I don't need to prove it in the scriptures. I can give you the verses and you can look it up. But that's part of our life. Jesus did. We want to be like him. We will. That's our way to be conformed to his likeness. Simple. If we fight that, or we stay in our hurts and our pains and our control, or we have to have certain things and certain people a certain way because then we feel better, but we don't want to allow the Lord to help us get out of the wilderness of opposition, we'll stay in the wilderness of opposition. And we'll say, yes, it's really been hard for 20 years or whatever. The Lord wants to take that and pull us out of that and change us in his presence, and we'll go as far and as fast as we can, honestly, because he's all about humility. Go back to the very beginning of this. This is all about, all right, real humility being birthed in us. And what's the opposite of humility? I think you know. Begins with a P, ends in an E. Oh, Jesus. Okay, let's take a look at, that's good stuff. If you read chapter 4, which I just, for time, I'm not going to do that right now, but I really, really encourage you to do that. I love that one. 3 is a little hard, isn't it? So let's go to 4. So funny. Oh, the first 11 verses. Let me take verse 11, all right? It talks all about rest, 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 rest. If we only have our idea of what rest is, I'll just rest and I'll just commune with God. Then he can change me. And then I'll go back and I'll go snap at somebody else. That's just not how it is. We have to be aware. He will show us in this place of rest. He will, because he's so good. Verse 11, therefore, let us be diligent to enter the rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. What? I thought we were past that. Now we're in chapter 4 about rest. This is not one of those messages where we need to realize that we are like the Israelites. Okay, done. Let's go. It's time. Let's go have lunch. It is not like that. This is about showing, I believe, the Lord showing us what he is like as we consider him, and we want to be in that place of promotion, don't we? As we understand the place of disobedience and unbelief as a place that possibly we might be swimming in. And God is, I can't fool him. You can't fool him. What he says is disobedience, what he says is unbelief is. Because he is. So, if we aren't honest before him, how are we going to take what it is that he says it is and give it back or say, I don't want it? See? Jesus is clear. He's really clear. And you know what's so fun? Verse 12 follows that. Now, let's just look at that. Verse 12 in chapter 4. Everybody knows this one. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart, or able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Word of God, word of God, word of God. When I read this, I stayed up. I read it twice in the middle of the night. I didn't quite finish. The second time through, I fell asleep, but I read it first and went, that is good. It's simple. It's to the point. And I read it again, then I fell asleep. But it's really good because it's about the how-to, a little bit more of what Lawrence is saying. Okay, how do we do this? How do we look at our Jesus? So much fun. Wow. Mm-mm-mm. We're going to look at the beauty of Jesus' holiness as him being our magnificent obsession, as him being the baptizer, as him empowering us to live, as him being the great high priest, which we just went through, and him giving us everything we need for life. We're going to look at that in just a minute. So don't think this is like, oh. It is, but, you know, there's more. There's a way out of the, That's what we want to see is the way out, the way up. Listen, guys, when we recalibrated together in unity in Mozambique, before anybody, as a team, I was part of it, so they did some ministry before that, but the whole team, because I stayed here a couple extra days, and then I flew in on Friday morning. Well, this recalibration took place on Saturday. Let me tell you, this was the most amazing team of just lovers of Jesus, humble, loved these guys, still do. It's so amazing. I couldn't wait to see them. I got to Pastor Jose's house on Friday. I'd been up for 2 days, more than 2 days. But I was so filled with Jesus because I was spending so much time with him. I was excited. It's like, oh, I'm going to see them. I can't wait to see these guys. And I go and see them, and it's like, I see the fire. Kind of, but there's more. So I was just like in my heart going, Lord, this is not a well, team, what's the problem here? It wasn't that. It was, Jesus, there's something. What do you want to show me? I'm the leader of this. Show me. I don't know. Is it me? Show me. I want to go lower. Show me. Am I in some kind of unbelief or disobedience? I don't know. Show me. Rip me up. I don't care because I know how good you are. And I know how much you love me. I don't have to sing a song to prove it to myself. I already know. And I want to know more. Show me. Change me before I get anything from heaven. And then he says, shows me what to do. I asked a few questions. And it's like, I don't know. What do I do? It's not, hey, PMP is going to come in and take charge. It wasn't like that. But he revealed to me the step to take on Saturday. And so when I did, there was a recalibration in the spirit. Why? Because God put me there. Why? Because he allowed me to carry something that was needed at that time. Okay? So it just happened because that's who he is in me. And that's what he used me for at that time. He wanted to do that. Could he have done it another way? I don't know. He did it this way. And what happened? There was a change. There was repentance. There was recalibration. There was, of this beautiful, amazing team. Okay? It's like, repentance? Wait a minute. That doesn't go with the flow. Are you kidding me? There was this spirit of unity that so came together. It was, I can't even put it into words. I need to because I'm holding a mic, right? So there's this unity going, yes, God, and nothing will touch this person or this team, and it will go back to America, and it won't touch their families, and this critter that's trying to come because of something that was done a couple weeks or a week before, that's over in Jesus' name, because you're telling me, don't put up with it. Don't stand for it. That's who you are. You are a leader, so act like one. Whoa. Okay, thank you, Jesus. That's going on inside of me. I'm not acting like that. You scare away everybody in the village, right? It's like, whoa, that lady's weird. But hey, God did it another way. What did he do? He opens a portal from heaven and this bucket of joy comes where you can put your hand out and you can barely even move your hand. It's so thick. It's so strong. It's like honey. And your hand is like, wow, I don't know what this is. Well, I do, but I want more. Oh my gosh. And God just drew everybody because he draws you to that kind of joy. He draws you to unspeakable joy. He draws you, but resistance will go, you're too much. I'm doing it myself. I'm doing it my way. Foolish. Foolish. We all do it. Just foolish, right? And everybody got to be part of the party. It was a party for Jesus. And you know what? Pastor Jose said yesterday, this was the most powerful outreach in the history of you going to Mozambique. Come on. 2003, we've been there, and it's always increasing. But God said, I love you guys so much, I'm going to pull you out of that valley or that place of opposition. Because you want me, and I know it. So watch what I do and cooperate. Because humility is the highest goal through love, right? I want to be like Jesus. Wow, I'll never forget it. And then God says there's more. So next year, whenever we go or whatever we do, it'll be greater, it'll be bigger, because that's what we do. That's promotion, promotion, promotion in the spirit. Think of that, not just all these Israelites. It's promotion. Jesus, are you encouraged this morning? I hope so, because I sure am. Thank you, Lord. All right, now here's what we're going to do as we go through a few more scriptures, and then we're going to wrap it up. I'm going to actually read something to you. I don't normally do this out of a book, but this is cool. Okay, how many of you hear the word repentance and you go, oh, here we go again? Thank you. One or two honest people. Come on. Three, four. How about, really? It's like, oh, what does it look like? Okay, if you're having dreams, now I know a lot of you have because you've told me, so don't think she's talking to me. I've heard many, many, not one or two, not even 10, more than that, okay? Dreams about toilets and bathrooms and things like that. What do you do in the bathroom? Thank you. All right, let's go. Verse 24. Windows open, doors open. chimneys open. Oh, you wouldn't believe the dreams and visions. Just all kinds of openings, openings, openings. I don't know if you guys can do this. Let me let me show you what I did. This is so funny. I didn't even think about this, but let's see if we can pull it up here. Hey, can one of you come up here, and if you can get this picture, I want to show it to you because it was so weird. Thanks, Cara. I knew you would say yes to this. Okay, this is a picture. Let's see, who did I send this to? I got to find it really quickly. This is a picture that was taken in my living room. Okay, let's see if I can get it right now. Yeah, this one right there. And then, well, the one, yeah, that one, and then, oops, that one too. Okay, first show that, and then we'll show that. All right, thank you. All right, you'll see what this is about. And then we're going to finish up here. But this page on repentance is unique. I've never heard somebody say it like this. I want you to listen so you'll be encouraged. Okay? This is James 4, 6 through 10 in the NASB, so I'll just read it. It's like reading my Bible, all right? It says, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded, as I smile. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of God, and he will exalt you. In other words, James is saying, repent, forsake your sin, and turn fully to God. All right, now that's everybody, how many people know that scripture verse? Really? Come on, guys, I think you do. James 4, 6 through 10, if not, write it down. Okay, this is what I want to read to you, though. Contrary to popular opinion, repentance is not a bad word. It is not the voice of spiritual tyranny or the rant of an angry street preacher waving his Bible and spewing insults at passersby. Repentance is not legalism. It is not the demand of controlling leaders, bad religion, or an irate God. It's fun. The call to repentance is God's merciful invitation to receive forgiveness, change our ways, become healed. Let me say it again. Yeah, okay. You can get on the healing train and stay there for a couple decades and, whoa. The call to repentance is God's merciful invitation to receive forgiveness. Receive it, not just give it to everybody else because you've been hurt. Think about that. The call to repentance is God's merciful invitation to receive forgiveness, change our ways, become healed, and escape sin's power. It is God's extravagantly kind insistence that our sins do not have the last word. We are not doomed to remain in our bad habits. That really made me happy when I read that. Went, oh, good. Yes. Yes, my husband will love this. You'll love this page. This is really good. 24. Yeah, 24. Repentance paves the only... Now, here's the kicker. Ready? Drum roll. Repentance paves the only roadway out of the wilderness of opposition. Paves the only roadway out of the wilderness of opposition. James describes in what we just read, not just a change of behavior, not even a radical change of behavior. Repentance is a total, number one, get this, reshaping of mind and lifestyle. This centers on Jesus. I've read that, and I've marked it up. I've got arrows, and I've got stars going, with tears going, oh. Repentance is a total reshaping of mind and lifestyle that centers on Jesus Christ. Genuine repentance, for most of us here who claim to know Jesus, you're in church and you want to be here, and we do, and we're born again and all that, right? Is not as much a matter of turning from sin as it is to turning to Jesus. Well, does that mean I don't have to turn from sin? No, it doesn't mean that. But I'm turning to Jesus. And when I turn to Jesus, I'm turning away from the sin that he's revealing to us. To Jesus. To Jesus. To Jesus. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. That's really good. That's good enough. You'll have to read it yourself. Okay. Can you please put up that picture? Flip the lights off really quickly, guys, if you can. I'm sitting on my floor in the living room. And I'm laughing. I'm drinking a cup of coffee and reading the Bible or whatever. And it's like, what is this? Many of you have been to my house, our house, and you know our little living room and the panes of windows. Anyway, so there's bushes in front of my living room windows. And, you know, it's summer times. It's really nice. I did say our house. No, I said ours. Oh, my living room. Yours too. You're welcome. At that moment, it was my moment, but it was in our living room. That's true. Okay, check this out. This is the funniest thing. I laughed so hard, but I had to run and get my phone. Okay, there it is. That is our rocking chair. Those are our windows, and I'm just about as far from there with my phone. Okay, my couch is a little bit further out, our couch. And so here's the next picture. Let's biggie size it, please. Now, that really tickled me. I thought that was so funny. I'm sitting there drinking a cup of coffee going, what is this? This is a toad. Frog. Frog. No, I sent this to Haley down in Florida. She goes, oh, you're just so silly, Grammy. I said, she doesn't know the real message, but my windows were closed. That loving critter is not getting in. But I'm seeing it with my natural eyes. But what do I see? Do I see the underbelly? Do I see the vulnerable area, which we normally don't? Yes, I am seeing that. And immediately I was taken. Immediately it's like, oh, why is this happening? Why am I? This is weird. I don't have any frog ponds in front of my house. I don't have any. There's the hose isn't on or anything like that. I mean, why is that there? And I wish you could make it bigger. So you really can't, but I did. So it's like the whole screen. So you look at his eyes, and he's trying to get up there. And you know what? He climbed up one of those windows, and I'm thinking, you are really stupid. Why are you doing this? You're not getting anywhere. Why? What's your purpose? And then he falls off, jumps up again, and does it. And I'm thinking, that is just weird. First thing I thought of was, honestly, I don't live in the Old Testament, but I was thinking of plagues in the Old Testament stuff. You know, it's like, okay, you're not getting in my house. But if you think about that, where that little critter is very vulnerable, the Lord wanted me to see that I can see right into that place. So if someone, honestly, says, can you want to talk to me about your world and your life and whatever, and someone who knows you is really good because they can hear from God really well as well. Because they may have been praying for you for a very, very long time. That's what Lawrence was saying. God designs it that way. And you know what? Someone who's really discerning, has discerning of spirits, guess what they're going to see? Even with the glass, they're going to see right into you. That's what Jesus says. I'm going to see right into you. And I'm going to see where, not where you're most vulnerable, where the enemy's most vulnerable. Because our battle is not against flesh and blood, right? Our battle is against critters and big ones, not just little toads. But I felt that the Lord was saying, I have given you discerning of spirits. And I thanked him. I said, I know that. And I'm increasing that in you. Because it's a gift. Oh, yes. So I want more. I want to see more. I want to be able to release more. I want to help people more. Because the battle is not against people. It's against what afflicts people. And what comes against people. Because that's what comes against God. And that's what keeps us in that place of opposition. And the Lord says, I want to take you to a place of promotion. Come on. Can you see that? So here this thing is climbing up and I'm watching his belly going, oh, I could take you out if I wanted to. Except my windows are closed and you're not getting in, sucker. It's always a very prophetic moment for me. Oh, Jesus, you're funny. Let's wrap up with Revelation 1, 12 through 20. Can you open your Bibles, please? A couple more. Romans 8, 13 is good, too. We'll see how long we have here. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Revelation 1, 12 through 20. Come on. Revelation 1, 12 through 20. This is the beauty of his holiness. Now, most of us have read this, and we go, yes, I like this one. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe, reaching to the feet and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it had been made to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, two-edged sword. Ha, huh, interesting. We just read that, didn't we? And his face was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, "Don't be afraid. I am the first. I am the last. I am the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I'm alive evermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Therefore, write the things which you've seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after these things. As for the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." Okay, that's not just Old Testament, guys. That's also for now. And the Lord's saying, I'm going to show you where I'm going to release my glory, release my fire. I want a resting place. I want a place of habitation in you, in this place. This is what I want. I want to bring promotion. I want to do that. I want to birth the fullness of what you have, the fullness of what I've given you. I want that. Don't stand in my way. That's what I believe he's saying. Don't stand in the way of King Jesus. Okay, don't want to. Won't do it. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at Philippians 3, 7 through 11, real quick. Flip over to Philippians 3. I like that. Come on. Are you? Oh, I'm encouraged here. All right, Philippians 3, 7 through 11. Love it. Jesus, you're so good. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Okay, put everything in there, guys. Everything. Every person, every place, every circumstance, everything. Everything is everything. Whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. 8. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, getting my own way, I'm adding that, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Verse 10, which I already recited earlier, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. 11, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Oh, come on. I'm going to read one more. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect or mature, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. If you've been raised up, then keep seeking where he is. Keep seeking, keep seeking, keep seeking, keep seeking, keep seeking. He's seated at the right hand of God. 2, set your mind on the things above, not on things that are on the earth. Because that's where you stay, in that place of opposition. Foolish. Verse 3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So last verse is 5. I didn't mention that. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Wow. You know, I'll tell you what. If you keep reading those kinds of things more and more and more, you just won't even be able to stand in the face of the Lord. You just don't put your spin on it. That's what he told me. MP, don't put what you think you are. You ask me. You get my word. That's how we get rid of religious thinking. You know what religious thinking is? Where you think instead of receive from the Lord. Where you feel instead of receive from the Lord. I'm serious. Where your will says, this is the way it is, instead of receiving it from the Lord. Oh, this is like, Jesus, I want to be in this place of promotion. This is my story. This is my song. I don't care what it takes. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. I want to keep going. And I want your word to bring the conviction to my heart that it was meant to do. If you're not reading the word every day and not just somebody else's opinion, read the word every day, a lot of it. And go and say, what are you saying to me? What are you speaking to me? And he's going to show. He's very, very good at it. So, Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing this morning, God. I thank you that you are not merely corrective, but you're preparatory. You are preparing us. You are correcting us and preparing us. You are training us and preparing us. You bring correction because you are preparing us for more. Lord, I thank you for this word of encouragement this morning to all of us. I thank you, Lord, that you want to show us the vulnerable places of the enemy, where his stinking belly is, so we can knock him out and we don't get backlash from that. That we are able to take the snakes out completely, destroy them, and they don't even get in the house at all. That the windows are closed, that the doors are closed, that the places are closed, and that's because we carry the fire and we carry the power to say no and to see where the infiltration is. Give us, God, more for who we are and where we're going, so that we receive the promotion, God, that comes through the training, through the correction, through the discipline, through all of it, God. It's a great place to be. Shikaraba. Jesus. I hear right now there are many here who need to be filled with the Spirit. You've not been filled with the Spirit. You can do great things, but you're not walking in the fullness of the Spirit of God. So let's just raise our hands to heaven and not say, well, that's not me. Because how he views it is the way he views it, not how I view it. He just told me that in this prayer. So Lord Jesus Christ, we know that you're here in our midst. And we know, Lord God, that you want to fill us with your Spirit, and you need to have our cooperation, God, so that we're willing to go low and repent. We're willing to run into your arms and say, have me, all of me, God. Here I am. Show me my weaknesses. Show me these areas. I will not fight you anymore. Show me where I'm going down a path that's even a little bit off the main path. If it's not your best path, it's not the path for me. God, show that to me so I can walk in the fullness of your anointing and the fullness of your Spirit. So, Lord, I'm asking that you would speak right now to everyone in this room, and that you would let them know of course, how much you love them, but where they need to go next in their walk with you, in their journey with you, God. I thank you, Lord, that you desire that this place to be a company of people who are filled with your Spirit, filled to overflowing, completely generated in the fullness of the anointing of heaven. So I thank you, God. I just see buckets coming just from heaven, just being poured over people right now. The Lord's saying, I will free you if you will repent. I will free you if you will give me everything that I'm showing you and even more that's coming. I will free you so I can take you into that next place. I thank you, Lord. He's showing me picture of brain, of minds right now. And I believe he's saying, let me shake up your thinking. Let me shake up what you've been believing. Let me shake up your brain. Let me shake up your thoughts. I thank you, Lord, for that shake up. Shake us, God. Shake us so we can hear from heaven that we would only have the thoughts that are your thoughts, your ways that are our ways that would become your ways. And I thank you, God, for that. Holy Spirit, just fall and descend in this place. Fall on this precious body. Fall on these precious family members in the Spirit. Fall on all of us, God, that we would not shrink back, that we would not make excuses for what we're doing or what we path that we think we're supposed to be on, that we would say no more, that we would be on the full path to the destiny that you have for us, and we would not make excuses, and we would not go the direction that we would want to go because it feels good and it feels right. God, protect us from that. Protect us from that. Let the wind of your Spirit move through this place, move through the hungry hearts, move through the willing ones. Thank you, Lord, that you move out all the obstinate places, that you move them out, and that we would have that refreshing that comes through repentance, God. Thank you, Jesus. Let it be, Jesus. Let it be today, and let this continue to carry into the places when we go home, into our places with you privately, God, and that we would not miss your very best, that we would take advantage of every opportunity to connect in with your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. I call out recalibration right now in this house. I call out a turn. I call out a change. I call out the wind of the Spirit to blow through us, and that there would be a new fire, a new level of anointing, a new place that birthing is coming. The Lord says, I'm going to birth something new. Be prepared. Be prepared. Be prepared. Be prepared. Hey, shakaraba. Murababa shiki. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord. You are the Lion of Judah, and you are not messing around. So, Lord, we offer to you this day ourselves fresh and new. We thank you, God, that we can see the enemy of our soul, the enemy of our family, the enemy of our ministry, the enemy of our nation, the enemy of all connections that we have, that we can see that, God, and that we can respond accordingly, so that we can be moving forward into this place of promotion, this time of preparation that you have for us. Let it be, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just suggest to you guys that you start in Hebrews 1 and you just keep reading. And you do business with God. Spend time with God. Spend time. Spend a lot of time in his presence. But read the word and let it bring the refreshing conviction that only the Holy Spirit can bring. Thank you, Jesus. And if you've had people speak over you or to you, even make suggestions, and you said, no, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, I can't, I won't, let God deal with you. Because if those were things from the Lord to bless you, then the one that you resist is the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy One. The Lord's really proud of this group, proud of our family here. He just so wants to keep moving, and he doesn't want anyone to not be moving in the fullness that he has right now. He's very proud of us. Thank you, Papa. Thank you. That's what I just heard. This is a blessing from heaven. Be encouraged. Be strengthened this morning. Be encouraged. Be strengthened. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Your best. Your highest. Amen. You spend time, as much time as you want or need here. You can just put some music on back there and see you guys soon, wherever that is. Be encouraged and strengthened. Love you all. What a great word from the Lord, huh? Oh, happy birthday. Michelle, too. Woo-hoo. Well, who wants to sing it, play it, dance it? Thank you, Holy Spirit.
So while we were worshiping, before the sermon and everything, we were worshiping, I saw rain coming down, and each of us were holding our own bucket, and the buckets were just filling so quickly to almost overflowing. And then Pastor Mary Pat was praying here at the end, and she was like, he's dumping buckets of blessing on us. And it was just, you know, I was feeling the same thing. He was, while we were worshiping, he was preparing the buckets.
And and Kaylee is the new math teacher at Smithville High School. Alma mater for Michelle, right? Woohoo! Did you go to that high school, Shell? Did you go to up to ninth grade? So she's going to rock it. She got this job, and they love her there, trust me. Yay! Haley got a job.